This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the Divine Connection, Understanding the Quran. Alhamdulillah, we are back on another program looking at the tafsir of the commonly recited surahs of the Quran. And the nasheed we just heard was Al Quran by Wahid. And Wahid are performing at the Souq this year, which is on right until the 1st of January. So if you're looking for some halal entertainment during the next few days, you can get down to the Souq, inshallah. So today I've chosen to do tafsir of a surah, which I feel is very crucial to the times that we are living in. Rather, the tafsir that we are going to be looking at today is very crucial to the period of the holidays that we are in. Because we are currently in the week between Christmas and New Year's. It is the time of the year when everybody is having fun. And many of us forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this time. Many of us get caught up in this world. There are so many things around us to distract us and to divert us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is so much going on in our lives that very often we forget about our purpose. So today, inshallah, as a reminder to myself and to everybody else who is listening, we are going to look at the tafsir of Surah Takathur. Surah Takathur is a surah which many of us recite often in our salah. But many of us don't know the translation or the meaning of the surah, and it is such a powerful surah with such a powerful message about life and our purpose and about waking up before we die. You see, if we look at the world around us today, the world has become a world of distraction. People get distracted in different ways. Some people spend their entire life just chasing after money, wanting to get richer and richer. But Shaitan always has poverty before their eyes. So they may have 2 million, but they're worried what happens if I lose that 2 million. They may have 1 billion, but they're crying over the other 1 billion which they have lost. And so we have this competition going on amongst people. They just want more and more and more out of life. And they're never feeling satisfied. And then, besides those who are chasing after wealth, there are those who are chasing after other things in this world. Some are chasing after a degree, hoping that a degree will make them happy. Not that there's anything wrong with a degree, but if you're looking at it as your only source of happiness, then you're going to end up disappointed. Or disappointed. And then there are those who are chasing after the opposite gender. Those who are chasing after thrills. Those who are chasing after experiences. Chasing after everything, looking for one thing, happiness. This is what we are looking for. This is what every human wants, happiness. The problem today is that we are looking for it in the wrong places. We are looking for happiness everywhere except where happiness can be found. And everywhere we go, there are distractions to divert us from that which leads us to happiness. We live in a time and in a place, and specifically in a week, where all around us is a commercialized, materialistic lifestyle. Where everything's about money. Everything's about wealth. Everything's about buying this, buying that. It's all about the dunya. It's very, very easy for us during this time to get lost. To get caught up and to forget why we exist. And when I look around during this week, I only think of one verse of the Quran. That's the opening verse of Surah Takathur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-haakumut takathur. Al-haakumut takathur. The competition, listen to the translation of these words, the competition to pile up the things of this world has distracted you. The word used here, takathur, from the word kasara. Kasara means something to be a lot. Takathur means to want a lot, to pile up a lot, to compete to get a lot. Takathur has that emphasis on doing it with others. So takathur is where people are competing with each other to pile up more and more things. That's what this one word means. It's just one word in Arabic, but the meaning in English is like 5 or 6 words. The competition to pile up the things of this world. That entire phrase which I just mentioned is the English translation, probably the best English translation of this one Arabic word, takasur. This is part of the miracle of the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses the most shortest of words to have the most powerful meanings. We saw that with Surah Al-Asr, that those 1.5 lines, those 3 short verses of Surah Al-Asr, they give us such a powerful meaning and such a powerful tafsir, which can change your lives. Here's an example of one word which has so much meaning. Takathur. We could have translated takathur as abundance, as it is in some of the translations. We could have translated it as plenty. But that doesn't give away the real meaning of what this verse is trying to tell us. This verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that in the world we are living in the lifestyle that we are living, we are distracted by a competition. A competition to pile up the good things of this world. Allah calls them good things. Yes, they are good things in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to them in other places as khair. In Surah Adiyat, which is just 2 surahs before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to wealth as khair. Khair means good. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in that same verse, innal insana li hubbil khayri la shadid, that mankind is too severe in his love and greed for wealth, for that which is good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one verse is telling us that wealth is good, but the problem is that we are greedy for that wealth, and that greed is what distracts us from the purpose of life. So alhaakum at-takasur, this competition, whether you are competing with someone to get a better house than them, whether you are competing someone to have a bigger wedding than them, whether you are competing with people to get better cars than them, or to have more shops than them, whatever it is, this competition to pile up the beautiful things of this world, it has alhaakum, it has distracted you. It has distracted us. The question is from what? What have we been distracted from? If we don't know what we are being distracted from, then we won't be able to remove the distraction. And according to the tafsir of the surah, we have been distracted from the purpose of life. We have been distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our obligations towards Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us elsewhere in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I did not create humans or jinn except to worship me. Are we fulfilling that? Are we living our life such that we can say, Alhamdulillah, I am trying my best to worship Allah through every action, that my work is a form of worship because I'm earning halal to please Allah and spending it on halal ways, that my sleep is a form of worship because I go to bed at night with the intention to recharge my energy so I can worship Allah more in the morning? Is my eating a form of worship that I say Bismillah and I eat with my right hand and I try to follow the sunnah to the best of my ability and not overeat for the sake of pleasing Allah? Are we living lives of worship? SubhanAllah, if you look at the lifestyle that we live, especially at this time of the year, how many parts of Islam are violated? Islam teaches us not to overeat. I think most of us, myself included, are guilty of overeating in this time of the year. Islam teaches us to go to bed early and to wake up early and to spend the day productively. Many of us go to bed late, wake up late, sometimes even missing our Fajr Salah, and end up spending the days in a lazy manner, not being productive. How far have we been distracted? And how long will we be distracted for? You see, there's 2 types of people. There are those who read the verse, and they introspect, and they evaluate and say, hold on, I've been distracted. I need to wake up. I need to get with the flow. I need to get out of the program. I need to start worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I need to start fulfilling my purpose in life. And then there are those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this surah. And He says, Alhaakumut takathur hatta zurtumul maqabir. That this competition to pile up the things of this world has distracted you until you visit the graves. What is meant by visit the graves? There are 2 tafsirs of this verse. The first is that when you visit the graves of people, literally, it reminds us of death. And that wakes people up and gets them to start practicing Islam again. As in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when he said that I used to prohibit you from going to the graves, but now you may go to the graves to remember death. And so we should be going to the graveyards to remember death. We should be looking, going to funerals to remember death. We should remember death and it should wake us up. But the stronger tafsir of this verse is that until you visit the graves is actually a metaphor. It is metaphorical and it means until you die. That means the tafsir of this verse is that for many people, the competition to pile up the things of this world has distracted them from the purpose of life until death. Until death, do we want to be from that group who gets so caught up in this world, so busy wanting to earn more and more and buy newer and newer things and bigger and better things and have all kinds of dunya experiences, completely forgetting about our salah, completely forgetting about the rights of people that we have violated, completely forgetting to make sure our wealth is halal, that we earned it in a halal way and we spent it in a halal way, forgetting all of this while we are distracted by this world until we die? What happens when we die? There's two types of things that happen when you die. If we are good, then the angels come and give good news, and the soul is removed gently and it's taken up and the gates of paradise open and the angels at every level of paradise want to welcome that soul into them, and Allah wants to meet that soul, and the soul has a beautiful smell. But if we are evil, if we are bad, then our soul will be dirty, our soul will be smelling, our soul will be ripped out of our body forcefully, and the gates of paradise will be closed and nobody will want to meet it, and it will be punished. So what state do we want to be in? We are going to take a short break. When we return, we'll continue with the tafsir of the surah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We spoke about the opening verses of the surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Al-haqum al-takasur. He warns us and he says that this competition to pile up the things of this world has distracted you. Hatta zurtumul maqabir. Until you visit the graves. Meaning until you die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on with a very strict warning. And he says to those who chose to remain ignorant, to those who chose to turn a blind eye to the reminders, to those of us who chose to ignore the warnings, he says, Kalla sawfa ta'lamun. No, on that day you will come to know. Thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun. Again, know that on that day you will come to know. What will we come to know? Kalla lo ta'lamuna ilma al-yaqeen. On that day, you will come to know with certain knowledge, with yaqeen. Why certain knowledge? Because on that day, لَتَرَوُنَّ الجحيم. You shall see the hellfire. You see the big difference between belief and certainty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that those of us who choose to ignore the warnings in this world, who choose to stay away from doing the right thing and to indulge in the wrong things, in the grave, we will see the hellfire. And then we will have certain knowledge. Not knowledge which is based on belief or knowledge based on information, but knowledge based on sight. That you will actually see the hellfire. And then what? What can we possibly do then? It's too late. ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ. Allah says, then you will see it with your own eyes. You will see it with the eyes of certainty. Picture yourself on that day. Picture ourselves on that day in the grave, waiting judgment, and we see the hellfire with our own eyes. And then what will we be asked on that day? ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then on that day, you shall be asked about the good things which you were given. So this is the short translation of Surah Takasur. Let's get back to going into details and analyzing each verse, inshallah, for the full message. So we said that this surah starts by telling us about the competition to pile up the things of this world. And that's what this world is. This world is just a competition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that in another part of the Quran, that this world is only a competition in wealth and children. And, you know, it's all about having more. If you look at our culture today, it's all about showing face. But what will the people say? What will the people say that I don't have a better car than that guy? What will the people say if our wedding is small and simple and their wedding is big and beautiful? What will the people say? We worry so much about what the people will say. Do we ever stop to think and wonder what will Allah say? Who made the people important? Who made the people's opinions of us important? Why do we spend so much money on things that we don't need to impress people who we don't like and who won't even like us? We spend millions on lavish weddings to impress people, and the people still complain that the biryani was burnt, that the food came late. They're still going to complain. Even if you have a lavish wedding, it's not going to make a difference. But we still do it. Why? Where did this mentality come from? This is not from Islam. This mindset of wanting to please all the people, of wanting to show face, of wanting to waste so much of money on things of this world which are not important to us or to anybody else, just so that we can look good in the eyes of people. This is not from Islam. In fact, this is against Islam. This is against the teachings of Islam. Islam teaches us to focus on what matters. To focus on pleasing Allah even if people are displeased with us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us, that if we focus on the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, we will be tested with people being displeased with us. Allah will put us through that test. But in the end, those people who matter, those people who are righteous, Allah will put the love of us in their hearts. This is found in the books of hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put into the hearts of the believers love for those who try to please Him. So, what are we going to do with our lives? Are we going to continue competing in the things of this world? Or are we going to make a difference and we're going to change our lives and start doing that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My brothers and sisters, this is a very, very severe warning. So many of us recited in our salah without even batting an eyelid, without even knowing what we are talking about. But this is a very severe warning to those of us who are distracted. It's very easy to be distracted. In another hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us about the beginning of creation, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created paradise and hell. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created paradise, He sent the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam to inspect paradise. And the angel Jibra'il concluded that nobody who hears about this will not enter it. Everybody who hears about paradise will make sure they do what it takes to get into this place. And then he sent him to inspect the hellfire. And Jibra'il said, "And nobody who hears about this place will ever enter it. Because if people know what hellfire is about, they're going to make sure they do everything to stay away from it." But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hid paradise under the trials of life, under the tests of life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hid the hellfire under temptations, under the competition to pile up the things of this world, under the distractions. And when Jibra'il saw that, he said, "I'm afraid nobody will be able to enter paradise and nobody will be able to escape the hellfire." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the way out. He has given us the way to escape. He has given us the Quran. He has given us the Sunnah. He has given us the way of life which leads to paradise. Life is just about choices. At the end of the day, everything we do is a choice. To do the right thing or to do the wrong thing. That's what it comes down to. We all have a choice. We can choose right now to change our lives. Yes, it's the middle of the holidays. But there's no holiday from Islam. There's no holiday from Salah. There's no holiday from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we had to die this week, as Muslims who are celebrating Christmas and New Year's, how will we answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that? Think about it. If we had to die at a Christmas party or a New Year's Eve party, how will we ever answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that? We need to think about these things. Because there is no holiday from Allah. I chose this surah specifically for this week because I know that this is the week where many of us forget. We forget why we exist. And subhanAllah, in the past few weeks, I've been hearing so many stories of young Muslims dying in places that a Muslim should never even go to. doing things that a Muslim should never even do. But we're doing this in the holidays because we forget about our purpose in life. Or maybe we don't know about the purpose in life. Maybe some of these youngsters, we never thought about it. Do we teach our children about the purpose of life? Do we first show it in our own actions? We need to consider this verse. Think about this verse carefully. Think about these verses every day. Make it a point of introspection. Am I from those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about when he says, Al-haakum al-takathur hatta zurtum al-maqabir? The competition to pile up the things of this world has distracted you until you visit the graves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us that you will come to know, that in the graves you will come to know. And this is repeated twice. And it starts with the words kalla. Now this word kalla indicate that this is a Makkan surah, that the surah was revealed in the early days of Makkah, because only the Makkan surahs have the word kalla in it. Kalla is a word of emphasis to bring the attention of the reader to what's about, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to say. It's a point of emphasis. We can translate it as no. Kalla no, sawfa ta'lamun. No, you will definitely come to know. So it's a point of emphasis, and you'll only find it in the Makkan surahs. So Surah Takasur is definitely a Makkan surah. It has all the qualities of a Makkan surah. It talks about the afterlife. It talks about the purpose of life. It's short. It rhymes. It has words like kalla. All of these are signs of the Makkan surahs. Why is it important to know the difference between the Makkan and the Madinan surahs? Because they both have different themes. The Madinan surahs focus more on fiqh, and the Makkan surahs focus more on our beliefs and on motivations to be practicing Muslims. We find that Aisha radiallahu anha has informed us that she said if the first verses to be revealed were the verses prohibiting alcohol and zina, people would not have listened. But the first surahs to be revealed were surahs talking about the afterlife. And once that became settled and firm in people's hearts, then Allah revealed the halal and haram and people followed it. So it's important for those of us who need motivation to start practicing Islam to start by studying the tafsir of the Makkan surahs. Because those surahs are addressed to people like us. And then to those who now have that desire to follow Islam completely and who are ready to go deeper into the religion, then we move on to the Madinan surahs and start studying the detailed laws of Islam and how we can put them into practice. As this is the order in which the surahs were revealed. So Surah Takasur is one of the early surahs in the Quran. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about knowledge. He says, then you shall come to know. The question we need to ask ourselves is, are we really from those people who want to wait until we see the hellfire with our own eyes before we know the truth? Or do we rather make the choice to learn the truth now, to learn the Quran, to learn the Sunnah, to learn to follow the right way now and to put that into practice so that we don't have to see the scene? We don't have to see the scene. We don't have to see the hellfire. We don't have to see these horrors. We can live a righteous life and earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be under the shade of His throne on the last day and be from those who enter paradise without intercession, without having to account for their deeds. We can be from these types of people if we just make the choice to practice Islam here and now and to change our lives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that no, on that day you shall come to know. Again, know that on that day you shall come to know. There are many points of emphasis. The Arabic of these verses is very powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses emphasis upon emphasis. Kalla, summa, kalla again. Kalla for the third time. Emphasis upon emphasis. If you understood Arabic, you'll know that Allah is emphasizing the point over here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is driving home a point over here. That if you don't know now, on that day you will know bi ilm al yaqeen, with conviction, because you will see it with your own eyes. Do we really want to see the hellfire with our own eyes? Remember that for those of us who choose to be righteous, when we pass away, inshallah, if Allah accepts our deeds, then we will be in our graves in a garden of paradise. A window will open showing us paradise. But if we choose to be unrighteous and to disobey Allah, then we'll have a window to hellfire. So we will see hellfire with our own eyes. With that, we need to take another short break. When we return, we'll continue with the tafsir of the surah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We continuing today with the tafsir of Surah Takasur, which we began a bit earlier. And with Surah Takasur, it's a very heavy surah. It's a very warning style surah. You see, the surahs of the Quran are of different types. There are surahs which talk about paradise, surahs which talk about the hellfire, surahs which teach us stories, surahs about fiqh, and surahs which have a variety of themes. Surah Takasur falls into the warning category. It's a surah which is meant to hit our hearts and hit it hard, and to wake us up from our sleep, to wake us up from our dream and from our state of ignorance, if we are in such states. This is the surah which was revealed in the early days of Makkah. If we go back and look at it historically, the early days of Makkah were such that people did not want to hear the Quran. Remember, the majority of people of Makkah were not only not Muslims, but they were against Islam. They did not want to hear the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the surahs revealed in that time were short and powerful to hit the hearts. And so for those of us today who find ourselves not wanting to hear a lot of Quran, not wanting to follow Islam, na'udhu billah, whatever the case may be, these surahs are meant to hit our hearts as well. They are meant to soften the hearts of people, to make us realize that life is short and we need to make a change. That's why the surah is so heavy and powerful in its content. And we should not shy away from such surahs. We should talk about all the surahs of the Quran. You know, I mean, in the past few years, there's been a lot of emphasis on the heavier surahs, yes, on the surahs talking about hellfire. And then there was a shift to only talking about paradise. But Islam is a balance between the two. In Islam, we need to talk about both. We need to talk about both the evil ending, if we choose to do wrong, so we know what the consequences will be, and the good ending, if we choose to do righteousness, so we know what are the rewards for doing good. We need to have this balance between hope in Allah's mercy and fear of His punishment. And so we need to discuss both types of surahs. So we should discuss and we should introspect and we should think about surahs like Surah Takasur, because they are meant to get into our hearts and to change our lives. Because it is very, very easy for us to be distracted by the things of this world. It is very, very easy to fall into the rat race and into the competition to pile up the things of this world. For our entire lives to go in just chasing after this world without ever being able to get it. How many people live their entire lives like this? They spend their childhood going to school so that they can graduate and go to university, so that they can graduate and get a job, so that they can earn experience and get a better job, so that they can earn experience and get a better job, so that they can earn even more money, so that they can buy a better car, so that they can buy a better house, so that they can retire when they are old and die and leave everything behind and leave nothing for the year after. Are we in that category? Are we from that category of people who got so much focus on saving and saving and saving our wealth, and then one day we die and we leave it all behind? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us that the only wealth which is really saved is that which we give in sadaqah, that which we give in charity, that which we spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we spend our wealth in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is saved in the afterlife for us. It is saved upstairs. So that when we die and we go up, inshallah, on the day of judgment, our wealth is there in our scale of good deeds. That this is the wealth that he gave and he spent on certain people. This is the wealth that he or she spent on their family. This is what they spent on their community, on the poor people which they knew, on the Islamic projects which they were aware of, on the masjids. This is the wealth which will help us in the afterlife. Are we doing that? Are we balancing enjoying the halal of this world with investing in the afterlife? Or have we forgotten both and gone after the haram? We really need to think about these things. Because at the end of the day, when we pass away, we are going to be asked. Amongst the five questions which we're going to be asked include about our wealth. We're going to be asked two things about our wealth. We're not going to be asked, how much did you earn? What was your salary? How much savings do you have? No, Allah's not going to ask us about that. Allah is going to ask you two things. How did you earn it? And how did you spend it? You see, how much we're going to earn is already written in our taqdeer. It's already written in qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided for every human being how much we are going to earn in our entire lifetimes. We have no control over that. That's a reality. That's something which is clearly stated in the books of hadith. All we have to decide is how do we earn it. Do we earn it in a halal way or in a haram way? Do we spend it in a halal way or in a haram way? This choice, this decision is what we'll be asked about on the Day of Judgment. That yes, you have a million rand. Did you earn that million rand through riba, through interest? Or did you earn it through something halal? So we need to think about this. Let's not get caught up. Let's not be from those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the surah. When we read these surahs, we should read it with the mindset, oh Allah, save me from being from these types of people. We should make this dua. Al-haqumut takasur hatta zurtumul maqabil. This is a very, very powerful surah. It should make us cry if we actually caught up in this world. It should really hit our hearts and make us cry. That the competition to pile up the things of this world has distracted us until we die. How many people do we know like this? How many people in the world today have committed suicide over wealth? You know what's the funny thing in the world today? In the world that we live in, the funny thing is the rich people who are committing suicide. Not the poor people. Many of the poor people are happier than the rich people. You go to the wealthier countries and you find more depression. You find more sadness. You find more fear, more obesity, and more suicide. Why? Because the wealth is not earned in the way which is pleasing to Allah and is not spent in the way which is pleasing to Allah. So there is no barakah in the wealth and there is no peace in the heart. We started off today talking about happiness. That everybody is searching for happiness. But we're searching for it in the wrong places. Go out there and ask those people who have converted to Islam. Specifically ask those celebrities who converted to Islam. Why did they leave their fancy lifestyles? Their rich lifestyles, their famous lifestyles. Why did they give all of that up to become Muslims? And you know what they'll tell you? They'll tell you they weren't happy. They tell you they had no peace in their heart. They had no happiness in their lives. Their lives were empty. When you saw them on stage, when you saw them on magazine covers, when you saw them on TV, dressed up in the coolest of fashions with a big smile on their face, they will tell you they were lying. The smile was a phony. It was a fake smile to keep the fans, to please the fans. But deep down on the inside, there's that unhappiness. I'm not saying this from my own side. I'm saying this from interviews which I have seen of celebrities who have converted to Islam. When they were asked, they all said the same thing. That they were unhappy. That the money, the cars, the houses, the woman, whatever it was from this dunya that they were chasing, it never brought them happiness. They only found happiness in Allah. And many of us, we have Allah, we have a connection to Allah, but we are not taking it. We are going after that which they ran away from. We are going towards the sources of harm and the sources of unhappiness. So we need to take one more break. When we return, we'll conclude with our tafsir of the surah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're talking about the distractions of this world. Surah Takasur, Al-Hakumut Takasur. Let me quickly, for those who joined us, go through the translation of the surah one more time, and then conclude with my final words of advice and message from the surah. There's a lot of things we can say, and a lot more deeper we can go into the surah, but we want to focus today on getting out of this distraction, getting out of this competition, getting out of this rat race, and focusing on our purpose in life, getting back in touch and getting back in connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we went for the break, we are talking about how many people who had everything in this world, many of them committed suicide because they were unhappy. And others, alhamdulillah, discovered Islam and converted to Islam instead and gave up the things of this world. Because they realized that Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. It's only in the remembrance of Allah. It's only when you're connected to Allah. It's only when you think about Allah that your hearts will find peace. And then you will find peace and happiness even in the worst of situations. So, Surah Takasur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Al-Haqumut Takasur, the competition to pile up the things of this world has distracted you. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you visit the graves, meaning until you die. Kalla sufa ta'lamun, no, then you will come to know. Thumma kalla sufa ta'lamun, again no, soon you will come to know. Kalla lo ta'lamuna ilma al-yaqeen, no, if you had known with certain knowledge, latarawunna al-jaheem, you will certainly see the hellfire. Thumma latarawunnaha ayna al-yaqeen, and you will see it with your own eyes, with the certainty of your own eyesight. Thumma latus'alunna yawma izin anin na'im, and on that day you shall be asked about the things of this world which you were given, about the na'im, about the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which He has blessed us with. Let's look at the final verse of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of judgment, when we are questioned, Allah is going to question us about na'im. What is na'im? Na'im are all the good things which Allah has given us in this world. It is everything He has provided us with. Our rizq. It is referring to our wealth, yes, but also our health, our lifespan, our youth, our energy, our strength, our resources. Everything which Allah has given us, our intellect, our memories, our knowledge, all of this is part of na'im. It's all part of the good things which Allah has given us. It's not just limited to our wealth. Anything good which Allah has given us falls into the category of na'im. The thing is, with each of these things which Allah has given us, which in of themselves are good, which in of themselves are bounties, each of them can be misused and abused to do evil. Our knowledge can be used for evil. Our minds can be used for evil. Our wealth can be used for evil. Our bodies, our strength, our youth, our lives can be used for evil. But all of these things can be used for good as well. So Allah is not going to ask us about how strong we were. Allah is going to ask us, what did we do with the strength that He gave us? Allah is not going to ask us, how much money did you earn? What was your salary? Allah is going to ask you, what did you do with your money and how did you earn it? Did you earn it in a halal way? Did you spend it in the right way? Allah is not going to ask us about why you grew old. No, everybody grows old. Allah is going to ask us about what we did with our youth. Did we spend our young years serving Allah's deen so we can be under the throne of Allah on the day of judgment? Or did we spend it disobeying Allah? Allah is not going to ask us about how long we lived. We have no control over our date of birth or our date of death. That's already said by Allah. Allah is going to ask us about our lives and how did we spend it. That's what it comes down to. That's our choices. We don't choose how long we live. We don't choose how long we are young for. We don't choose how long we have strength for. We don't choose how much wealth we have, how intelligent we are. We do choose how much knowledge we have, yes. Each of these things Allah is going to ask us, how? What choice did you make in spending the gifts that Allah has given you? Allah has given you and I these gifts. And on that day, Allah is going to ask us, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذِنْ أَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then on that day, يَوْمَ إِذِنْ means on that day, لَتُسْأَلُنَّ, you shall be asked. Now if you understood Arabic, this is a very, very powerful statement. Because Allah says ثُمَّ, which is emphasis, then la, again another point of emphasis, tus'alu, you shall be asked, and then unna, a point of emphasis, meaning we translated as you shall be asked, but we didn't translate the summa, the la, and the na, all three of these which are there for emphasis. Meaning there's a triple emphasis on the word being asked. Allah is saying, if you had to give it, you know, there's no way in English to explain this. It's Arabic. It's a strong point of Arabic which has no comparison in English. But if we had to put it in English, it's like saying that on that day, you shall definitely, definitely, definitely be asked about what you were given. You see, it's a triple emphasis. It's like Allah is driving home the point that yes, you have all these things. You can use these things to get distracted by this world and to get caught up in the competition of this world. But you can use all these things for good as well. Think about it. Is there any gift which Allah has given us that can't be used for good? Is there any skill which Allah has given you that can't be used for good? No, everything we have can be used for good or evil. We will be asked about it on the day of judgment. just drive back home the importance of learning Arabic, because there's so many things in the Quran which just can't be translated into English. It's only when you read the Arabic that you get the full message. But at least this much that we get, this level that we understand, should affect our hearts and change our lives. We ask Allah to help us to follow the teachings of the Quran. So this is Surah Takasur. And this is what the surah is about. It's the entire surah is one simple message. That this world, it's very easy to get distracted. It's very easy to get caught up in this competition. It's very easy to get caught up in the rat race. It's very easy to use the resources which Allah has given us for evil. Or even not for evil, but for wasting our lives. Wasting our lives. Which in Islam is evil. You know, I mean, think about this. Are we living or are we just existing? Think about that question for a while. Are we living or are we just existing? Are we just going through the motions and then when we die, we left no impact in this world? We didn't do anything good, anything beneficial? Or are we truly living lives which are beneficial to us and others who are around us? This is what is meant by the surah. That this world and this life is one big competition. It's one big rat race, full of distractions, full of dangers, full of hardships, full of problems. But we need to focus on our goal. Focus on Jannah. Focus on Allah's pleasure. And we can get through everything. We can bypass everything. So today we spoke about this. And we also mentioned that one of the reasons, specifically in our community, one of the reasons why we get so caught up in this competition is because we always worried about what people will say. So if we had to shift our mindset from pleasing the people to pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be a major step in the right direction, and it will be a major step towards getting ourselves out of this competition. Because once your life is focused on pleasing Allah, you're no longer worried about having a bigger wedding than somebody else, having a better car than somebody else, having a better house than somebody else. These things become insignificant. These things become things which you don't even think about. No. Your worry and your focus then, isn't Allah happy with me? Am I earning my wealth in the right way? Am I spending my wealth in the right way? Am I living my life in a way that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So my brothers and sisters, it is the holidays. It is the week between Christmas and New Year's. It is the week of the year where, na'udzubillah, the most sins happen. Even amongst our Muslims. This is the time of the year where the majority of sins take place. And where Shaitan seems to have his strongest grip on the world. But if you're listening to this, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants what's best for us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an opportunity to escape from all of this. To escape from this lifestyle and this circle of hardship and hurt and harm which leads us downhill. And I want you to go back and think about this. Think about this. Why is it that so many people who had everything in this world ended up committing suicide or going into depression? And why is it that those who have embraced Islam, like the converts and reverts out there, and those who have chosen to understand and to follow and practice Islam completely, why they can be happy even if they don't have anything on this world? Why does this happen? It's because happiness and peace lies in getting out of the competition, getting out of the rat race, and focusing on the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do that, your life will be much easier. Life will be easier. You know, many times we think Islam is difficult. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us of the purpose of Islam in the Quran. Yuridu Allah bikum al-yusr, wa la yuridu bikum al-usr. In Surah Al-Baqarah, that Allah intends to make things easy for you. He does not intend to make things difficult for you. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told us, "Inna dina yusr." Definitely the religion is easy. Right? He told the scholars, when you're talking to the people, "Yassiru wa la tu'assiru," make things easy for the people, don't make it difficult for them. How do we make things easy for the people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited alcohol, He's prohibited drugs, He's prohibited zina, He has prohibited these things because they make life difficult. You don't believe me, research these things. These things make life difficult. So the only things which are prohibited are the things which make life difficult. So if we stay away from what's haram, our life becomes easier. Many of us never thought about that perspective, did we? We're just thinking this thing is haram, it's making life difficult for me. No, it's the opposite. It's really the opposite. You don't believe me? Go speak to someone who's addicted to drugs or someone who's addicted to alcohol and see how much more difficult their life is. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make life easy for us. And that's why He has sent us the Quran. And that's why He has sent us the guidance. And that's why He has sent us the Sunnah. And He has sent us the laws of halal and what haram. That if we stay away from the haram and we enjoy what is halal and we fulfill our purpose of life, we will have easier lives. We'll have more beautiful lives. We'll have happiness and peace in our hearts. So with that, inshallah, we come to a conclusion of another episode of the Divine Connection, Understanding the Quran. I hope that the tafsir of the surah had been of benefit to you. This is Ismail Kamda, the head tutorial assistant of the Islamic Online University, and your host every Wednesday between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. for the Divine Connection, signing off with our tafsir of Surah Takasur. Please don't ever forget the surah. And let it change your lives. Let this surah change your life. Let it affect our hearts. Al-haakumu at-takasur hatta zurtumul maqabir. The competition to pile up the things of this world has distracted you until you die. Learn the surah with translation. Ponder over it. And let the guidance of Allah change our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the evils and the temptations of this world. And to guide each and every one of us to follow Him even at the times of the year and the times of our lives when it's most difficult to do so. And to always follow His guidance and to be with the righteous on the Day of Judgment and to enter paradise with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the understanding of the Quran and to help us to practice and follow it in every aspect of our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all the youth during this holiday season to stay away from the haram and to only enjoy that which is halal. And to help us and to give us more avenues and alternatives to have fun the halal way. So with that, we will close off for today. I will see you all next week, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.